Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to put you on this radio show in a minute. You want to be on the radio show? He said, you better put some water in that drink and go to bed.
Alafia and greetings, Hotep. Oh, yes. Oh, come, let us adore him, the youngest child in the family. We're talking about the youngest child in the family. Let us adore him. Welcome back, family, and happy African American New Year to you. We'd like to welcome you into a new year. I hope you've made some New Year's resolutions and that you plan to stick to them this year. I have, I know, and one of those things is that we would pay better attention to the youngest child in the family. Sometimes that's the one that gets overlooked. But this year, we're going to start the year all right. We're going to talk about the issue for the youngest child in the family, and we're going to talk about how we can help that youngest child in the family. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome each and every one of you to another segment. This is our brand new year, and we want to rejoice because a lot of us didn't make it over the hills. Some of us are still in a lagoon, and some of us are still traveling, trying to get here to this particular time and hour. And this time was set aside just for you and I. As you know, we all kneeled and came here and asked God if we could come because there was something that we could do and we had a purpose. our Nia, we wanted to fulfill it. Now, we must remember that every child born kneel before the throne of God and ask to be sent here to do a specific job. And if every child is on assignment, then we must help that child with their destiny. So therefore, this month, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about the benefit of a destiny reading for the youngest child in the family. And normally when the child is first born, a destiny is placed upon that child's head. And we ask that child, is you the one? And even if he can't respond, we carry on as if that child is the one. And we create a destiny's plan for that child. And we put that child on a path. But more than likely, you need to take that child to a Babalaw or a priestess so they can divine over that child, do a divine divination reading to give you purpose and give you clarity for that child's life. Now, I didn't say all of your children. I said the youngest child right now, and that's what we're working with because normally at birth is when you're supposed to request the right hand of Ifa for that child. And you know, Ifa is a Romala. Ifa knows all. Ifa never sleeps. No. Ifa never sleeps. So Ifa knows all. He was at the inception before you came here to earth. He know when you asked to come here, and he knows all the hidden mysteries. He is the one that creates the clot, and he is the one that takes the babies away when they die at birth. So Ifa is the one that we consult for directions for our newborn child. Let us rejoice because we are glad that we are working on something for the newborn and for the youngest child in the family. And as we played that song, Oh Come Let Us Adore Him, if you have your babies, mother, bring your babies into the room. If you have your youngest child, bring your youngest infants and toddlers and preschoolers in the room because there's destiny in those children. And if you would listen to those children and watch them, you would see the spiritual side of that child, and you need to cultivate it. And what I came to do this month is help you cultivate that youngest child and find out the purpose for that youngest child because you can truly guide that child on his path. Now, our chat room is open. I want to give out some digits now for you who are listening in nearby neighboring states. This is the Care to Read Show, and you have Yomi Inca 7 live coming to you straight from Miraville, Indiana. I am Maddie Harvey's baby sister who's finally grown up, and I'm bringing it to you to talk about the topic of how do we cultivate our youngest child and how do we create an opportunity to give them a destiny reading. What is Odu? So on the billboard it asks, what is Odu? We're going to be talking about what is Odu. And what is a divination? What is a divine reading? And a destiny's reading. There are many readings that you get every 4 days, which most priests do every 4 days, but your destiny reading is a unique one. It gives you your purpose. It puts you on purpose and gives you a direction for your life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to station identification, and we're going to be right back at you in the air. So let's just take a station identification and talk about a baby in a manger.
Oh,
right, we're back. Welcome back to the Care to Read Room. Those digits for those of you who would like to call in now are 646-478-0270. And welcome back to a new year in the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omiika here. I am your advisor, and I'm also your advocate. I am your empress here to serve you, here to serve the youngest child, that is, to be exact. And ladies and gentlemen, why don't you stand with me as we do our indication where we bring in the libation. And as I told you before, we must sanctify the ground and make it holy. So therefore, we pour water to the ground because the water will indicate we've set this area aside to be sanctimonious and holy. We like to also pour libations to our mother spirit, and we like to pour libation to our father spirit. We like to also let you understand that this is a ritualistic room. And we do acknowledge our ancestors here because we know without them we are nothing. And some of them are still yet traveling in the lagoon. We like to light a candle for my mother's spirit, and I say Ashe. I like to light a candle for my father's spirit, and I say Ashe. I pour water to the ground so that wherever we are, it is sanctified. I also pour libations to my father's spirit, and I say Ashe. I pour libation to my mother's spirit, and I say Ashe. And to my Orishas, Obabala, Obatala, I say Ashe. And to my mother's spirit, Yamanja. And also to the Father deity, we pour libation, and we want to acknowledge Oladulmare, who is the head of our life and the one that we direct all of our attention to. I pour libations to the East, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the west, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the north, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the south, and I say Ashe. I call those ancestors back from the lagoon who are yet traveling, trying to make their way home from the Middle Passage. I call back Sheikh Diaz. I call back Harriet Tubman. I call back Nina Simone. I call back Dr. Clark. I call back Dr. Carruthers. I call back the Garveyites. I call back every one of those Garveyites who are in the Middle Passage who are still making their way home. I call back Dr. Martin Luther King and Sweet Coretta King. We call them back into being. We call back those brothers and sisters who might have not made it through the Middle Passage. And we call each and every one of them, and we call our personal loved ones, Robert Jenkins, Clara Jenkins, Mary Lou Hawkins, Tommy P. Harvey, Tommy Harvey, Michael Harvey. We call back Michelle Harvey. We call back Esley Pope. We call back Eugene Lilly. We call back Marvin Jenkins. We call back Robert Jr. Jenkins. We call back Robert Sr. Jenkins. We call all of those in the Middle Passage and all of our dear loved ones back to this place, and we say, to God be the glory. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to also read a Yoruba specimen for you because we understand that we are African people, and we must remember that we have to do things in an African style. And if we do not acknowledge our ancestors, we would be a damn fool because we are standing on their shoulders and we can do nothing within our own strength. And as we get up in the morning, we have to know that it's not in our own strength that we do this, but we do this in the strength of our ancestors who allow us, as we call their name and continue to let them know we haven't forgotten about them. And we say to our loved ones that have not been able to pass over, we ask them to reconnect themselves back to us. And we say Ashe, meaning so be it, so let it be done. And ladies and gentlemen, you ought to understand that there's a morning prayer and that there is an evening prayer. And we'd like to do the morning prayer for you. Iba Owun Ifa Ogun Iba. And as we read these, they are done in Yoruba. However, I'd like to also do the translation for you
today we're going to try to do the translation for you because of the fact that we want to get into our topic. So we'll just go ahead and read the morning's prayer in English for you as well. So that for those of you who are listening and who are Yoruba and understand that there is more to gain in reading the language of Yoruba. However, it becomes a little difficult when you're in a time constraint. So I'm going to find a short prayer to read to you in Yoruba, and then we will try to translate that for you, okay? Before any shrine or doing a prayer, the Ifa worshipers must make sure that they throw water to the ground, like I indicated to you. And this is before the commencing, and this prayer will be absorbed, and that is why we throw water to the ground, okay? And this is born out of the following recital from the Holy Odu. And I mentioned to you we're going to talk about the Holy Odu and give you a little insight as to what Holy Odu means, okay? Oromala ni amoje ko moje wa woni ki awon woni upon Allah woni pe awon jerom woni pe awon oromala woni pe awon ifa woni po awon. In translation, Oromala said water died. I said water rises. Who will perform funeral rites for mother of water? They called the people of Aleda, and the people of Aleda said that they did not know mother of water. They called the people of Jerome, and the people of Jerome said that they did not know mother of water. Now, throughout the day, there are prayers that are read, and one of the prayers is the morning prayer. It is the most important one that you should know, and so I'm going to read this in English. I offer you morning greetings in the name of the Odu, Obatala, Oimeji. Just as you awake every morning, or often greetings when you greet Oladulamare, the creator and the father of all existence, Oladulamare. Lord, I thank you for the bringing me to the beginning of another day, for guarding me through the sleep, to see this morning and to look forward to the chores of another day. I thank you most respectfully for the allowing me to not offend my fellow men throughout yesterday, because you have ordained that to serve you, God. According to the divine laws, your children should be able to tell you every morning that they have succeeded in resisting the temptation to do any wrong against Oladulamare, which is God. The 200 divinities, all the children of God, and the society in which they live. Furthermore, in accordance with the injunctions, I have refrained from avenging all wrong done to me by relatives, friends, and foes, and help me also to neutralize all evil plans against me, just as you will neutralize any evil against me, that I might be tempted to plan against my fellow men. Because as you have proclaimed, that is the universal secret of long life and enduring prosperity. Protect me today, as always, from any danger. Protect me. And we want to ask that God add a blessing to that word. And we'd like to go on and say that for every household represented here, we send a special prayer out that they will be reconnected back to their families, and that every child that came through the womb, naturally or through Sincerian, that every child today that is represented here, mothers, bring your children in. If you would like to have a word spoken over them, today we like to talk about the prayer for
or the actual divine divination for the African family. And the divine divination for the African family is that I gave you this earlier, and I talked to you a little bit about the Owori Meji and explained to you a little bit about that there's readings that go forth, and this particular reading that's going forth for the African family and for the youngest child. Mothers must pay attention to their children, and they must learn the art and skill of mothering again and nurturing. I want to speak about lap time and how important lap time is. We want to say hello to those people in the chat room. Hello, guest number 13489. Hello, and thank you for joining us this afternoon, this evening. I'd like to say, Mother, that you don't want to put lap time off. Even though you have urgent things that beset you and the baby is crying for your attention and needs to fall into the position of the fetal position. And if mothers are not there, those children would resort to other means of finding their attention and getting their attention met. Babies can't wait. And you remember I did a topic on babies can't wait. You must remember that children require attachment. And it is nothing wrong when a child is attached to a mother. It's very important that our young children stay attached. And even when they get to be young teens, they should be attached. Don't let anyone tell you to detach your children, because your children gain security through attachment. Now, what is Odu? And what are we talking about here? We're talking about a number of things. First, I'd like to tell you about the 256 Odus, which there are in the African faith, the Yoruba. And those 256 Odus, there are two classifications. What are the holy Odus? They are divinities, ladies and gentlemen. And in their own right, they're divinities. And they are conjurers of essence and divine material energies. And they are conjunctions of divinities and deities. They are divine containers of existence. And they are virtues of light and darkness. So you have good and evil present there. Whenever you speak of good, you've ordinarily spoken of evil. Now, what we're about to do is give you a little history, just a little history, a foundation on Odus. And then we're going to get into the purpose of having your children divined over. Now, Dr. Wande Obenbola is the author of all of the teachings. And I consulted him, Dr. Obenbola, and he says there are two categories of the Odu. And the first category consists of Oju Odu, which is the principal Odu, the 16 numbers, the 16 numbers. These are principal Odus. And then there is the second category consisting of Omo Odu, which is also Omula Odu, and those are the minor Odus. That is the 240 numbers. And if you total the two of them up, they make 256 Odus. And there are about 1,680 verses of the recital poetry attached to each one of these Odus. So can you imagine how many verses a priest or priestess has to remember in order to recite these Odus, and most of them are reciting them by memory, okay? And they're attached to each Odu, and there are a total of 430,000 verses in all, which we will not even pretend like we're going to sit here and talk about today. But if you do need that foundation, Odu is a total package, ladies and gentlemen, that surrounds the individual, the planets, the galaxy, the totalities of all existence. That's you. That's you, little one. We're talking about you. Mother, bring your children into the room today. You're standing in the center of the stage, and that's where the young one should be, at the center. You are complete with all your ailments and all your cures, all your allies, your friends, as well as your enemies, all divine beings, both benevolent as well as malevolent, composed of Odu. Odus are divine recitals issued from the mouth of Oladulamare. Oladulamare Mimo himself. The complete body of instructions from Olarumala Mio and call Odu. Odu is the door through which we enter the world. Ebaru, Ebaroshe, Ebashe, Ebashe. So, Odu is all encompassing. And it's very important that you know when someone gives you an Odu, they're giving you everything that they can possibly give you as a path for your life. And today we talked about divining over the youngest child and the purpose for reading a child. And mothers, sometimes you can read the energy of the child. They don't have to say anything. All they need to do is come before you, and the very energy of that child can be read. But it's very important to understand that the Baba laws, they do divine, which require the I Kings to divine. And the Odus will come up. And when the Odus come up, they have a reciting poetry that takes place of these verses that are read. And once the verses are read, at that particular point, the Odu is given. And children must have parents that are able to put them on the path. So when your child is born, that child needs to be taken to a Baba Law, and divining needs to take place so that that child can receive the right hand of Ifa. The right hand of Ifa comes from Oromala. Oromala knows all. He was there at the inception of that child. He was there when that child kneeled before him and asked to come to this earth because there was something that he could do. He asked to come to this earth to be a part of correcting society. So it's very important that mothers, you take your children before the Baba laws so the Baba laws can divine over them. I'd like to give a divining for the nation for our African children. I didn't say all children. This is specifically for African children. And our African children require something different than other races of children. Our African children require a different formula. And from my perspective and in consulting with the energies to be and with the ancestors, our children must be taken better care of. They must avoid the penal institution. They must avoid going into the system, period, being a part of the foster care system, particularly and specifically. Mothers, you are going to have to become mothers so that you will not lose parental right. You cannot make your children a surrogate child and lend them out to a surrogate mothers. Our race has been failing so badly when it comes to taking care of family business. We have become adulterers when it comes to being parents, and we have mastered and clocked out on everything but parenting. So the spirit is telling me that the youngest child needs a parent at home. The youngest child needs a parent when he even reaches his in his middle 20s, possibly 30s. A youngest child needs to stay connected to his family. There are more and more children in a mental institution and mental wards now than ever before because they're becoming disconnected from family. So the reading for the African-American children are that schools have become obsolete for them. They no longer recognize what schools have to offer for them. So to you mothers that want to homeschool, I say do it. Take your children unto your bosom and open up a way to have your homeschool with you guiding and directing your child for as long as you can, keeping your hands on that child's life spiritually, morally, and academically. So, as we all know that our children is the one, we don't need to ask them. In our eyesight, that child is the genius. Mothers, I want to tell you that you are to make geniuses out of your children. When your child look in your eyes and see that you are partnering with them, you are working with them in academics, he will bring you home the best of grades. He will bring you home a scholarly report. He will become a scholarly child. There's no reason our children should be locked away in classrooms called special ed. There's nothing special about your child other than your child is uniquely born. And for every black boy to have a tag or a ticket on him saying special ed is wrong. And mothers, if you go in and sign your name away to put these children into these categories, then you're wrong because you can revoke your signature. Take your child home when someone tells you that he's special. That means you need to go home and do something special with him and take time off of work, a sabbatical if necessary, a family leave to go home and get your child back on track. Then connect with some of these family homes who are doing homeschooling. Save your children. Save them. Because there's a rat race out there that wants to put them in categories to gain extra filthy lucre off of them because they got a label. Now, if your child is special, guess what, Mom? That means you're special too. Somewhere along the line, if your child is not learning or has a learning deficit, that means that you're short somewhere upstairs. So it breaks your heart and makes you have low self-esteem and low morale. So you're going to have to take it up on yourself to tell your man at home, it's my job to see to it that these children are raised in a proper way and given proper education and tutelage. Then you take the time off and go home and set up your schoolhouse and be the little house on the prairie with the school and take your children up to grade levels, advancing in everything. So when you do decide to place them back in school, they're ahead of the class. Now, mothers, you're not doing right. There's far too many children that I see in the system, in the courtrooms, and you are crying out that your child's parental rights have been taken away and you no longer are the mother. And now you don't know what to do. You don't have a lawyer. You don't have anyone to represent you. You see your children carted off, and you're brokenhearted. So here's to those brokenhearted women out there. You're going to have to be parents. And for the youngest child, you're going to have to keep them close to you. Do not put them in child care, preschool, until they're of age of 5 years old. Stay at home, mothers. Take care of your children. And why am I telling you this? Because I know that this is what the Spirit wants me to say to you today. There are far too many children that are coming in with minimum brain disorder, alcoholic syndrome, you name it, they've got it. And mothers are dressed down to kill, and they're off to their job, and they're somebody in society. No, you're not. Because until your children rise to the top, you can't rise to the top. And you must understand that they're an extension of you, and that youngest child has no business locked away in somebody's daycare if he has a deficit. If he's special, Mom, then you do something special for him. You stay at home with him. You breastfeed him. You do things that help that child to develop. Now, the school systems are waiting for you to dump those children off on them because there's extra funds that they can get for having children that have been diagnosed and labeled. You're inundating your children with pharmaceutical drugs to keep them patient, to keep them quiet, and to sit still. You yourself know, African-American parents, your children are not sitting still at home. So how is it that you require them to sit still all day in a classroom? Now, we're African Americans, and children must understand that they're African Americans. We communicate in a different realm than Eurocentrics do. Eurocentrics children can sit long periods of time because that's what they're taught at home. But when you bring an African American in the classroom, they're not taught that. They're learning from their melanin, so they're touching and they're moving and they're about and they're active and they're hyper. Now, hyper is a value judgment. You say, Omi, how do you determine hyper? You can't. You assess it. And your own assessment from these psychiatrists that they give is an opinion. And they do not finalize with EEG or testing from technology. They just give their opinion, and your child is doomed for life. So, mothers, if you don't want those labels and stigmas attached to your children, then you must do your job and stay at home to raise them and to teach them not to touch and not to be so agile all the time and to sit still. Now, is sitting still a prerequisite for learning? No. But most Caucasian curriculum call for you to sit still if they're going to teach you. Some African-American teachers teach while the child is moving about, and they teach while the child is agile, and they can get away with it. But when they go to the next class and some white teacher's teaching them, it's not acceptable. Jenny's now got to go to special ed to get that extra help that they can't get in the classroom. Now, in these courtrooms, what is happening to our families? They're being torn apart. I want to speak to you men. Some of you men don't want to do your job. You figure that after the child gets a certain age, it's okay for you to cut out on the mother because now you figure the system will take care of them. I want to tell you something. When you give your vows and you say unto death do you part, do not let money be the cause of you parting in your families. Do not let money be the cause of you leaving your wives and going somewhere else where now you're in the streets and you have your own money in your pocket and you don't have to be responsible. I say you're a coward. So to those cowardly men who cannot face their wives because they've lost their job and because they don't have monies to help, I'm saying to you, it's easy for two people to struggle together than it is for one. Your child and your wife is your responsibility. Now, the Spirit is telling me to tell you that for the youngest child today, they must have a destiny. You must put them on path and get them on the path, a path of righteousness, a path that they've been called here to do. Most of our children don't know their destiny. There's destiny in all of our children. We must find that good thing, that one good and perfect thing that they can monopolize on and that they do well. And mothers, you must spend your last penny, if need be, to bring them into fruition. If your children is a dancer, monopolize on that. Musician, monopolize on that. Find that good and perfect thing that that child loves so much and will do at any time and help that child to find his passion. Passionate mothers are passionate about their children. They talk about their children. They display their children. They don't dress them up on display all the time for them to be put on display, but they quietly hold their children out to be those ones that they have hope for. And we have to have hope in our children. If we lose the hope in our children, there's nothing left for us. It's very important, African Americans, that you personally go up to these schools and revoke your signature for special ed. Take your children home and begin to do the work of the first teacher. You are the first teacher, parents. You are the first teacher that must lay the foundation for learning for your children. I don't care if you have a third grade education, you can still teach your child. But you cannot continue to dump your children off in the schoolhouse and want them to fix your children. Your children will not be fixed that way. It's very important that you understand that you must develop, a pact with your teacher and work with your teacher to alleviate these discrepancies in remediating your children. It's not going to help and not get any better anytime soon. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And the Spirit is telling me that eventually there will not be anyone in the schoolhouse. Most of the learning will be done in these virtuous classrooms online, in the presence of the home. Some of the mothers don't have the tools. Some of them don't even have the skills. But if they have the love,